Ladies and gentlemen,
panelists, we have completed 1 hour. We have 1 hour more to go on this program. And I could see that there's much to be said and much to learn and much to understand. However, like we said earlier, we will probably have to do another 2 or 3 shows. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to participate in the program tonight, we ask you to give us a call at 1-242-300-8255. Or 325-5404 or 325-5405. We ask you to call. We want to get into this topic and study it, and maybe some new insight will come about, and we'll be able to understand this better. Brother Paul, I look down on verse 2 of chapter 13, and yes, the beast talked about where it came up and had these things. But it also talked about the beast which I saw was unto a leopard, and his feet was like unto a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And I don't know, but that type of animal fits no animals I've seen in a zoo in my going about times. So how does that description of animal relate to what we're talking about this afternoon?
That's a good question, Brother John. All the Apostle John was saying, John the Revelator was saying, is that this beast system will have the same mindset of that leopard beast, of that beast that was of a bear, and the mouth of a lion. These three nations here was talking about Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. These nations were represented by those countries. All these ideas, like the United States of America have the eagle as one of their coat of arms, however you want to put that. Right here we have like the flamingo. Most countries are known by different animals and stuff like that. And we have like the bluefish, the blue marlin, I should have said. And he said that the characteristics will be there. And we know these countries, some of them are bloodthirsty. They were moving on to conquer and to conquer. And this system is acting the same way. And he says the dragon. Who is the dragon? The dragon is the devil himself. Gave him, that him, his power, his seat, and his great authority. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight, if you were to visit Rome tonight, and you was asked to speak to the Prime Minister, believe it or not, you're going to speak to Pope Benedict XVI. And if you were asked to speak to the head of the Catholic Church, here again, you're going to speak to Pope Benedict XVI. He holds two positions, ladies and gentlemen. He holds state and church. And that's why tonight, America has an ambassador in the Vatican, and the Vatican have an ambassador in the United States of America. And tonight, these two countries are working hand in hand. We'll read about that, how we came to that conclusion a little later on down in Revelation chapter 13. They're working hand in hand, and they're going to bring something upon the world that the world has never seen. And Daniel's word will be fulfilled. Our brother Carl earlier said that, you know, that Michael is not Jesus. Well, whoever it is, when that person stand up, Daniel said it's going to be a time of trouble that was never won since there was a nation. I'm not going to get caught up on who that was. All I know is, whoever that is, Daniel was showed perfectly clear that when they stand up, there will be a time of trouble that was never was. And then God's people will be delivered. The question is, are you a part of God's people? Are you? That's the question to ask ourselves individually tonight.
Also, the Bible, when the Bible uses words, it's best sometimes to research them in the original language. When the Bible talks about the archangel, it simply means that arch means the highest, and angel means messenger. So, and there was text in Daniel where Daniel said even the man Gabriel came to minister unto him. So sometimes when the Bible calls a person an angel, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are seraphims or other forms of angel. It just simply means that this person is a high messenger of God.
Thank you very much, Brother Roel. Brother Paul, you talk about the dragon. You kind of beat me to one of my questions. And the question was, does this beast operates on its own power? And you said it operates or gets its power from the dragon. And who is this dragon?
The dragon is the devil himself. Maybe a lot of people have not read that text, but I'm looking for that text right now to read it in our listeners' ears. I think that's in the book of Daniel, Revelation chapter 12. It talks about the dragon, if I'm not mistaken. It says that dragon, that great devil that deceived the whole world. That's right, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. That's the dragon, ladies and gentlemen. It's not an animal at the zoo or an animal that's going to just jump out of the blue. He's the devil. He's the mastermind that is behind all false religion. He is the mastermind behind men writing what I call candy books. Books that are filled with things that will lead you and I straight to the kingdom of hell. When last have you heard someone write a book about sin? 1 John 3:4 says, whoever commits sin transgresses also the commandment of God. They write all these books about prosperity. As a matter of fact, one of my very good friends, Brother Johnson, stopped by my parents' house on Sabbath past. And he made a very strong statement that I never really contemplated about. He said, when last have you heard the ministers that just preach about prosperity, preach about the second coming of Christ? And that's true. They don't go hand in hand together, ladies and gentlemen. How can you be preaching for prosperity and also preach for the second coming of Christ? They don't go together. Because most ministers who preach of prosperity is not talking about getting prosperous to preach the gospel, but it's talking about getting prosperous so you can drive the Mercedes Benz or the BMW or build that house on the lake or whatever like that. So you can be more comfortably in your finances. But they don't go together. Because none of Jesus' disciples were rich. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples were on one accord, they were truly converted. The Bible said they pooled all their resources. And no one amidst that group had a need. Wow, how we love to have those days again. When the churches of the day will pool all their resources. And no one in the fellowship of the brethren would have a need. Do you think we would see that before Jesus Christ returned? I doubt it.
And also, when you are a member of these churches where they preach these prosperity messages, you need to question yourself, does my pastor love me? Because the Bible quite clearly states that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Brother Paul, we talk about the beast. And our topic tonight is the mark of the beast. But before I get into my question, let me just give out the telephone line numbers again. That's 1-242-300-8255. For those of you in the family of Islands, you can give us a call toll free. Then, for those of you in the Providence, you can give us a call at 325-5404 or 325-5405. We talk about the beast, and we say the beast got its power from the dragon, and we found out that dragon is the devil. Now, my question is, the mark. What when the Bible talks about the mark or a mark, what is it talking about?
The mark is a settling into the truth. It's not a mark that we can see. Because remember, God's people have a mark also. But the difference between the people of God who are going to be marked and the people of the Antichrist who is going to be marked, their mark is in their right hand and in their forehead. God's people are going to be marked in their forehead. But there's an Old Testament prophecy where Jesus says, seal my law among my disciples. So it is the law of God that God wants to seal in the disciples, in the heads of his disciples. Yeah, even back in the Old Testament, they had disciples. This mark is a symbolic mark. It's dealing with the mindset. That's why Christ said, our mind is carnal. If you want to operate, you have to operate in the mind of Christ. Let this mind be new in I, which is also in Christ Jesus. It's not a mark that you can be able to see physically, ladies and gentlemen. Today we love tattoos, but would you like to be branded like a cow with a mark that's stamped onto your forehead? No, ladies, it's going to be, are you settling into the truth or are you settling into the false doctrine? Opposing the truth. And that's what the mark is going to be all about. That's the mark. And the mark is going to be based on how are you going to worship. Are you going to worship the commandments of God? Or are you going to go worship the commandments of man?
Brother Paul, if we read Revelation 13:11, it says, I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And this beast had two horns like a lamb and spake like a dragon. Now we talk about one beast. And now here comes another beast. Are they the same beast? What relationship does one beast have with the other?
They're different beasts of religion. As a matter of fact, if you read in verse 12 or 13, it shows that it's not the same beast. And he used the word another. He didn't say, and I beheld the same beast. He said, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And this beast, or this he, which is the beast, had two horns like a lamb and spake as a dragon. And in verse 12 of 13, he said, and he exceeded all the power of the first beast, referring to the beast in Revelation 13:1, that which was before him. And we all know, we believe it among ourselves, and more others like us believe that this beast is referring to the United States of America. We all know that the Roman papacy was on the stream before America. As a matter of fact, history records that America ran away from the persecuting power when it left England, and they went to America because they wanted to start a religion without a king and without a pope. And even today it is still like that, but slowly it's dwindling away. There are religious leaders and world leaders who are now saying church and state separation, the forefathers didn't really mean it that way. Did they really think the time has come now for these two to merge? And why did they want it to merge? They wanted to get better. You see, September 11th changed the world. And when America speaks, the world listen. But you might say, oh, America, no, no. Yes, we do. I mean, right here in the Bahamas, we listen. Just the other day on the news, the straw vendors were going back foot and forward. How come under the PRP reign they were not able to go out on the dock to sell their products? But now under the FNM reign, it appears if there's going to be a little leeway, they can go out there. And why could they not go back foot and forward? America said, no, we don't want them out there next to those cruise ships. Terrorism is on the rise, and we don't know who is going to have access to close to our cruise ships. You see, there was also a time when young men could walk out by the dock and die for quarters of the cruise ships. But ladies and gentlemen, to get them now, you got to show an identification. We all know what the havoc is when we travel now to the United States of America. And even any place, as a matter of fact, just go to the family of islands now. You have to go to a security checkpoint. Well, that didn't come from our government, ladies and gentlemen. That came from the United States of America. They want to protect their borders. What? How did this come about? Overnight. A few men hop in some planes and they crash into the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and other places in America. And with a blink of an eye, things have changed. And ladies and gentlemen, these two nations, the United States of America and Roman papacy system, are working together. And that's why they can go backward and forward comfortably now. Where the Pope will go to America and America will go to the Pope. Why? Because in verse 12 it says, he exercised all the power, referring to America, of the first beast. And he causes the earth and them that dwell in it to worship. That word comes up again, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And that's read just now from the Daily Morning News of Dallas, in Dallas, in the United States of America. Well, the head now, the thing about it is, this is not a story that was in the United States of America. This story was in Mexico. But they found it so powerful that this is in the headline of the paper. This is in the middle page. They went all the way to Mexico and transferred the information over to the Dallas. The president of the America is nowhere in this. Oh, yes, he is on the same paper. As a matter of fact, his picture is a little smaller than the picture of the Pope and the President of Mexico at that time. The President of America during that time was Bill Clinton. And his own was talking about Clinton nominating a new Joint of Staff chairman. But the people who were in charge of the Dallas knew it. They just thought that the Pope story is much more important than that of their own president, ladies and gentlemen. How come? Back in the day, this would have been a no-no. There's no way, you know, you're going to put the Pope above our president. Because, you know, America loves its presidents. They do, as a matter of fact, they love them so much that even after they are not presidents anymore, they have security guards around them like they're still presidents. Why? Because of the power that they have. America now today is known as the only world superpower. It has the power, ladies and gentlemen. And when they speak, the whole world listens. As a matter of fact, they're right now fighting the war in Iraq. And there are other nations who have joint forces with them. And who is it who giving the orders? It's not the other nations, ladies and gentlemen. It is the United States general, the general of the war. He is the one that giving the order, telling the other troops where to go. Think, ladies and gentlemen. And he says this, and he calls all the dead to worship that first beast, whose deadly wound is healed. And he does great wonders, so much to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. And he sealed them that are on the earth by the means of those miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that rather that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound of the sword and did live. And ladies and gentlemen, that image tonight is being put in place. And soon and very soon, that image will take place. And when that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, verse 15 says, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak. The first beast in Revelation 13, and the beast in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The both should speak. They're going to speak together and cause many as of that worship the image of the beast should be killed. And that's what a lot of our Christian brothers don't want to believe. They believe that they're not going to be here when this becomes a reality. They're going to be already gone into rapture. But they're teaching a doctrine that was the birth child of the papacy, the Roman papacy, is not a birth child of the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. And verse 16 says, and he calls it all. And all mean all. That's Bahamians, Haitians, Jamaicans, Americans, Mexicans, whatever. He calls it all. Both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead. That no man or woman may buy or sell, says he'd have the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here's where a lot of people get mixed up in verse 18. And here's wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So, if you do a survey tonight, and you ask most people, what is the mark of the beast? Many people will tell you the mark of the beast is 666. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the mark of the beast is not 666. What significance does this number play? If you go to Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, we will tell you where you would find this number. But before I give the answer to that, we have a call on the line. We'll take that call, then I'll come back to answer the 666 question.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, brothers, good night.
Good night.
I'm enjoying your show.
Thank you very much, sir.
And I have a comment. There was a gentleman that called earlier.
Yes.
And he was saying that we shouldn't be bothered with the details of Revelation, I think was his word.
Yes.
Paraphrasing. But if you look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 and onward, it speaks actually about the everlasting gospel. And this gospel, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. I was reading this and I was wondering if the gentleman that called in knows about what this here is actually saying. This is actually speaking about our time. It says, it goes on to say, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. You see, in the world today, a lot of people don't realize that the hour of his judgment is come. And the reason for that is they don't understand the timeline prophecy, the 2300-day prophecy of Daniel, that is found in the book of Daniel. If you look, speaking about the judgment, in Daniel chapter, in chapter 8, verse 14, and you will see the timeline of the prophecy. It says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, this cleansing of the sanctuary actually was in the time of the sanctuary that was set up in Israel, was a time of judgment. And here we have a prophecy coming down through the ages, 2,300 days, which represents a day, represents a year. So we have 2,300 days, which brings you down from the starting point. And I would like to ask the gentleman to read the starting of this prophecy, which Daniel tells you in chapter 9. It tells you when the starting of that prophecy begins. And the gentleman is smart. He can count the years down. In Daniel chapter 9, 25, it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, this is the starting up of that prophecy. And if he would like to, he can go into Ezra chapter 6, and it actually tells you when this commandment was given. It says in chapter 6, verse 3, in the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king had made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, and the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations therefore be strongly laid, the height thereof 3 score cubits, and it goes on and on. And also he can read the whole of chapter 7, where King Artaxerxes reconfirmed that same decree to set Israel go so that they can go back and build the temple. And from this time forward, if you count down to the year in the 1800s, you will see the cleansing of the sanctuary, which is the day of judgment. And here Revelation is telling us that judgment has indeed come. And if we realize how solemn this is, that we are living now in the day of judgment, we would indeed, like you gentlemen are doing tonight, we would be proclaiming the everlasting gospel, not letting people know that we should not be worrying about the details of the book of Revelation. Because this is, like you said earlier, I think it was Brother Paul that told the gentleman that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, letting his people know that you should now be preaching the everlasting gospel to the whole world, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Brothers,
thank you.
Don't be afraid. Give the gospel.
Thank you very much, caller. The telephone number's here. Those of you who want to call toll-free, but not toll-free. Those of you on the family lines can call us toll-free at 1-242-300-8255. And those of you in the Palms, give us a call at 325-5404 or 325-5405. We are now at 9:21 and some seconds, and we only have about 30-something more minutes left. So we want to get in all our calls before the end. But the Paul, we talk about two beasts. We talk about beasts in Revelation 13:1, and then there was another beast talked about in Revelation 13:11. What I want to know is, we talk about the mark of the beast. This mark is the mark of which one of these beasts?
Of the first beast. The beast of the papacy. As a matter of fact, the papacy said Sunday is their mark of authority. That's what, if you get in your calculator record, you said this, they said Sunday worship is their mark of authority. And that's why they ask the questions to their Protestant friends. Say, you Protestants who worship on Sunday, why is it you worship on Sunday? Which Bible is you reading? If you're reading the King James Version, give us a text. As a matter of fact, the Catholic priests, some of them on the record even offering funds. They know who can give a text to clarify why they keep Sunday as a day of worship. And up to this point, no one has went to receive them funds as yet. As much scholars we have running around here in the Bahamas, we have many. I mean, we have gentlemen that is, I forget what terminology you use when you say with the Bible. I never heard that one before, but I mean, maybe he might be listening. There's some funds waiting for him in the Catholic vault, in their bank account. And these funds are still available tonight. If you can just give them one text to show why did you worship on Sunday, you know, you could be a little bit more rich in your bank account tonight, or tomorrow, I should say, when the bank open up. If you could just go by the diocese of the Catholic, just, you know, give them that text. They're waiting on it.
Let us go to the phone line once again. Go ahead, caller. Hello? Hello?
My name is Ella Larimore from Dumfries, Kent Island. Hello? Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Go ahead, ma'am.
Sir, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me.
Yes,
in my Father's house are many mansions.
If it wasn't so,
I would not told you that when my daughter is sick in the hospital. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. And he said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You need a plenty of love. So much killing in our soul. And we have to pray for our soul. So much killing.
You right about that, man?
And murdering, man. Murdering.
Yes, man.
Yes. We need a plenty of prayers.
Yes, man.
And then the government tell them kill the prime minister. They tell them kill the former prime minister. Didn't tell them kill. So they killing off their own mind. They can't blame nobody. They blame themselves. But the devil got them, they call the man out there, then they slap him like, and they shoot him. But I don't go to know if anybody knocks on my door, because we're in the local desk. We are good on the island. We have no trouble on the island.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you very much, man. Thank you, caller from Dumfries, Cat Island. Brother Paul, when you were last speaking, you talk about Sunday being the mark of the papacy's system, and that they said that their authority lies in the fact that these other churches keep Sunday as their day of worship. So I guess now that we are an hour and a half into our program, I guess you could now somewhat let the Bahamas know, based on your studies, what the mark of the beast is.
Remember, Julian, I think I did a deal with that 6 days because I did a survey. As a matter of fact, just today, when I went by one of our local establishments here, I was asking a question, what is the mark of the beast? And everyone keeps saying it's 666. But let's read the text slowly and prayerfully. Let's see if John will tell us what the mark of the beast is, if it's 666. Revelation 13, verse 18. He says, here's wisdom. Let him that have understanding count the number of the beast. At least calculate it, the number of this beast. For it is the number of a man, not 666. He said, it is the number of a man. And his number, this man, is 666. Well, we all know that those 603 scores wake up to 666. Ladies and gentlemen, you might not be aware of it, but in the Vatican, the Pope has a name called Vicarius Filii Dei. And that stands for the Vicar of the Son of God. If you were to put a Roman number beside each letter of that name, it'll work out to 666. And that's right on target, because if you used to go to Revelation 15:2, John the Revelator was shown that those people who did not get the mark of the beast, they got the victory over the mark of the beast, over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name. So here again, John says this number is in his name. And he said those people who got the victory over this image, and over this beast, and over his mark, they were standing on the sea of glass. Hallelujah. So only those who get the victory over this. So it behooves us to know what this is. What does you and I need to get the victory over? And it's going to be centered around worship. If any man worship the beast in his image. So as soon as we get this next caller, because they might be calling on their cell phone. No callers, okay? All right. So it's going to be 666. So how do we deal with the 666? Like I was saying earlier, in the Vatican's name, if you get the name Vicarius, Vicarius is V-I-C-A-R-I-V-E-S, for those who are taking notes. That's V-I-C-A-R-I-V-S. Philii, F-I-L-L-I-I, F-I-L-L-I-I.
It's F-I-L-I-I.
F-I-L, sorry, F-I-L-I-I. That's Philii. And D-I is D-E-I. That's D-E-I. If you put a Roman number beside each letter of that name, it'll work out to 666. And this name, is in some of the Pope writers, the Pope has a triple crown. I don't know if you know that. Like how God have a triple crown? The Pope himself has a triple crown that he wears on special occasion. A crown within a crown within a crown. And in that crown has this name stamped into it. And that V will turn out to be a 5. That I will be 1. The C will be 100. The I will be 1 again. The V or the U will turn out to be a 5. Then the I and the Philii will be a 1. The L and the Phi will be 50. The I will be 1 and the I will be 1 and Philii. And the D will be 500 and the I will be 1. And when you total them up, it will come to 666. And many Bible scholars, besides just us who believe this, also points towards the papacy system, the man of sin, the Antichrist. And this is not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is going to be centered around worship. And that's why John keeps saying, if any man worship the beast in his image, when this system is enforced, the mark of the beast is going to be Sunday worship, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be 7-day worship versus 7-day worship. And if you don't believe this to be a fact, I need you to go, because this letter might not be found locally in our library. Write this down. Go to your website. Go on your Google. And you're going to type in Dies Domini. That's D-I-E-S. D-O-M-I-N-I. And when you go to that, you're also going to type in Pope John Paul II, Apostolic Letter. And when you scroll on, and it's going to be entitled on Keeping the Lord's Day Holy. And when you go to point 67 of that document, you will see where the Pope was telling those who are part of the Catholic faith, it's time for them to go to the civil legislators in order to get a law passed in order to respect their duties and keeping Sunday holy. Civil legislation. How does civil legislation come about? By us going to our government leaders and passing a law. And like I said earlier, right here in the Bahamas, a few years ago, there was a big uproar when our Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingham, decided he wanted to open the shopping laws a little bit wider. And a lot of our ministers, there was an uproar. They're saying, well, what is he doing? Sunday is not holy, ladies and gentlemen. Don't mind how much we try to make it holy. And I'm telling you, the words, they're just being said. And as we speak, men of the gospel, those who are not speaking out against the papacy system anymore, are hand in glove with the papacy. They're journeying back. They're going back home from whence they came. And they're about to start a movement upon the earth to enforce Sunday to keep it holy. You might say this will not be a reality. But it's going to be a reality, ladies and gentlemen. It might not be during our lifetime, but it is going to be a reality. Because John makes it perfectly clear that these things must take place. And Amos tells us in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants and prophets. Before Pope John Paul II died, he called his top bishops. And know what he said? The time has come for you to tell our members of our church. The time has come to stop watching movies and football games on Sunday, the Pope said. Sunday is not a time for this. Many, he says, lose the fundamental meaning of becoming things which should come over them worshiping on Sunday. Sunday is not holy. One of the sports activists in America, he said, no, this cannot be. Well, how come the Pope make this such statement? We've been playing sports on Sunday almost forever. That's what he said. But ladies and gentlemen, he is not the only one. If you get a book written by Pat Robinson under the title The Ten Offenses, Reclaiming the Blessings of the Ten Commandments, Pat Robinson, you might not know who he is. Pat Robinson is a minister of the gospel, and Pat Robinson is the founder of the Christian Coalition. And what are their mission? Their mission is to bring America back to God. And in his book, he's on the record saying, wouldn't it be lovely that all these ball games that go on Sunday be a thing of the past? So Sunday could reclaim its glory days and bring back the blue laws. Have you ever heard about blue laws, ladies and gentlemen? Well, those blue laws are still on the book. When during the time of the reinforcement of blue laws, you were not able to move around on Sunday like we do today. As a matter of fact, they're still in our books here in the Bahamas also. And I'm telling you, not too far in the distant future, because of the high level of crime and violence, these men are going to bring a thing upon the earth that we have never seen before. And all, the Bible says, will have a choice to receive it. And if you don't receive the mark of the beast, you will not be able to buy yourself. And that's why I said it's not going to be a physical mark. It's going to be a mindset. It's going to be, are you going to worship the commandments of God, or are you going to worship the commandments of men? And that's why I said those two people that are worshiping. And I always try to draw people to this illustration of Revelation chapter 14. There are two groups of people worshiping. Take a cut of it. Revelation chapter 14 verse 17 says, I'll start with verse 6, Revelation chapter 14. He said, and I saw an angel fly in the midst of heaven, like the brother who just called a little while ago, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue and people. That's going to be a worldwide message. No wonder Jesus said that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for witness, and then shall the end come. So John said, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him only, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him. The worship comes back again, and worship him who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters. But who are men worshiping today? They're worshiping the beast, the man who is known as the Lord God, the Pope. The people are worshiping him, ladies and gentlemen. People are bowing down, worshiping, and no one is telling them to get up. How come? How come the religious leaders who are being paid handsomely by our Lord and Savior Jesus are not crying aloud and sparing not, lifting up their voice like a trumpet and showing God's people their transgressions? And when you worship Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, you're worshiping something that the devil has put in place. And tonight the Lord has asked you to do research. Is this really true? Did the papacy really change the Sabbath? Did they really set up Sunday worship? Is it really true that one day it's going to be reinforced like it once was, when that first Roman emperor, Constantine, I think it was, that passed the first blue law, saying that only people that are allowed to worship on Sunday are doctors and farmers, because on certain days, that's the only time they can farm? That's going to be reality once again, ladies and gentlemen, and we can see it right here in the Bahamas. Because I'm telling you, if the government should wake up tomorrow morning and say they're going to open stores wide open on Sunday, there are more Christians who worship on Sunday than they worship on Saturday. As a matter of fact, when I put people to the test and I asked them this question, I said, if you should wake up tomorrow morning and the government said they want to pass a law to shut down everything on Sunday and everything, one must go to church, would you vote in the referendum saying yes, that's okay? And every Christian that I've asked, they all said yes. They don't see anything wrong with that. So the question needs to be asked, do they love their neighbors as they love themselves? Then what would happen to those people who worship on Friday? Or those people who worship on Saturday? Or those people who worship on Monday? You mean you just forget about them and just think about yourself so you can worship on Sunday? Take, for instance, When Junkunu falls on a Sunday, it just blows my mind that they bypass it right by and have it on Monday. But when it falls on a seven-day Sabbath, the one that God says we must remember is business as usual downtown. The ministers of the gospel are there. The world-renowned writers are there. The who's a who are there. But God's children are in church on the seven-day Sabbath. But when it falls on a Sunday, oh no, Sunday is holy. It's the Lord's day. Where did that come from? Is it the Lord's day? Let's ask one of a Catholic priest that writes something. Is it really the Lord's day? His name is Father Leo Broderick. And he wrote this in May 21, 1995, just a few years ago. And this is what he said. Perhaps the boldest thing and the most major change the church ever did, he said, happened in the first century. The holy day, the Sabbath day, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen, he said. Notice, not from any direct note from the scriptures, he said, but from the church's sense of its own power. The day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, came on the first day of the week. So this would be known as the new Sabbath. And then he says this to our listeners. And people who think the scripture should be the sole authority should largely become Seventh-day Adventists and keep the Sabbath day holy. Ladies and gentlemen, Father Billy O'Bardrick is a serious man. He said a statement correctly based on the Bible scriptures. And tonight he is talking to all Baptists and Methodists and Anglican and Presbyterian and independent worshipers, those who said they're non-denominational. He said, if you go over your Bible and your Bible only, you should become a Seventh-day Adventist and keep the Sabbath day holy. But what do? We continue to follow that mark, which the papacy said is the very mark of authority. And who are you worshipping? The Bible makes it perfectly clear. The Bible says you're worshipping the devil, the one who gave them their power, their seat, and their great authority. So what's the mark of the beast? In short, the mark of the beast renders in force, ladies and gentlemen. And how is it going to be enforced? Revelation 13 tells us that beast with a little horn will give his power to the first beast. And when that becomes reality, he will cause all, both small and great, to receive this mark. And once you don't receive it, I will not be able to buy or sell. Do people today that worship on Sunday have the mark of the beast? No, ladies and gentlemen. They will get it when the choice is given for them to make the decision. Will you receive it, that you will be able to buy or sell? Or will you reject it, that you will not be able to buy or sell? And then some of you will say, now, how will you eat? Well, Jesus answered that question too. He said, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Remember how he fed Elijah during the day of Elijah's persecution? He fed him in the day and in the night by a raven. He will do the same for us, ladies and gentlemen. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This will become a reality. I'm telling you, as we speak tonight, there are men of the cloth, of the so-called cloth, sitting around the table. They are trying to figure out plans and devices. How can we bring the nation, the world, back to God? And that's why CNN was right on target. The Pope is the conscience of the world. And that's why Pope Benedict can make an outright bold statement. All churches, which are not Catholics, are not churches at all. In other words, you must well dissolve, because we are the Mother Church, and it's time for you all to come back home.
But Paul, you mentioned about murders and so forth. What I want to know is these murders and crimes, and e-passports and electronic implants and all of these things, are they pointing towards that day and time when this mark of the beast will be involved?
Without a doubt, Brother Julian, it's pointing towards that. And I don't care how much we say we don't be a part, we are going to be a part. America sets the standard, we follow suit. And no one can say this is not a reality. They are the world's police. And when they speak, the world listens. And we know if we don't abide, they will put some laws on us. And if we don't abide, before we know it, only God knows what the outcome of that would be. But I'm sure we are going to abide. You know, we are friendly with America. But we will see what it would be.
Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Again.
Yes, caller.
What I would like to ask you all to make reference to the caller of the young lady who called on the cell phone. I feel a little bit uncomfortable about the answer that you all given her, and I think that young lady is looking for more explanation about the Sabbath observance, and I would like for her to read from the book of Hebrews chapter 4, from verses 1 unto verse 4, precisely verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, and verse 6. Also, I'd like for her to read Mark chapter 2, verse 27 to 28. I'd like for you all to please reiterate that for her, and if you all can, read it to her on the air before you all sign off. And if that young lady would like to get in touch with me, then she could call me by 361-6750 Percy Miller, and I'd be willing to sit down and study with her. Before I hang up, just one more thing I'd like to say, and make it very brief. With respect to one of the callers a few minutes ago, or maybe more than half hour ago, John said in Revelation 14, I read verse 1 to 4, and make it very brief. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was lighted with his glory, and cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of demons, of prisons for every foul and foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchandise of the earth have become drunk throughout the abundance of her luxury. And the King James Version says, the abundance of her delicacy. The next verse and the last verse says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest ye share in her sins, and you receive her plague. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. These are the steps that you need to close with in giving people a full understanding of what the mark of the beast is, what all it will incur, what men and women need to be aware of, and that God is calling, that man said that he shouldn't worry about it, but God is calling men with a solemn call to come out of the system of false worship, whether it be Catholic or any other religious organization that isn't teaching men and women the truth of the gospel that will take them from earth to heaven. They need to share the clear gospel. They need to know how to make a definitive decision for truth versus error. And the only way they can know it is maybe by you all on the radio. And thank God for the privilege you all have to do so. And I say this sincerely, without any abhorrence to anybody. I don't care what people do to me for what I'm saying. But the truth must be told. And the most you hear of the gospel today is planting seeds for money, planting seeds for money. And you see dancing, drums, and everything has been into the church. But you're not hearing the truth of the gospel. So I'm saying to you all, young men, while you're on the radio, in the next few minutes you have, sound the message clear. Let the people know. Give the nation a warning that this is coming soon.
Thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you. Brother Paul, Brother Shannon, we have about 16, 17 minutes left. We only have time for another few callers, so those of you who want to get your last call in for the night, we ask you to give us a call at 1-242-300-8255. That's for you who want to call from the family of Ireland. Those of you who want to call from the province, you can call us at 325-5405. Because we will be cutting short the telephone calls as we get in the last couple of minutes to give Brother Shannon and Brother Paul an opportunity to give their closing comments concerning our topic this afternoon, that is the mark of the beast. Brother Paul, you talked and you told us about what the mark of the beast is, and you said that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship. I have to ask again, because I'm sure there are many people who say, does that affect those who are worshiping on Sunday today, right now?
No, Brother Joe, it only affects them. The only thing that would affect our Sunday worship listeners tonight is, if you know without a shadow of a doubt that Saturday is a 7-day Sabbath based on your studies, and it's not Sunday, and you remain where you are, you're still in your sins. You are part of that group where the Bible says you are in iniquity, and iniquity is as witchcraft and rebellion. If you know that, you need to come out. That's what the caller just read to you in Revelation chapter 18. Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins and receive her plagues. Because her sins will reach up into heaven, and God will remember her iniquities. Those plagues are going to fall on those who receive the mark of the beast. You read that in Revelation chapter 16. The clarion call is to come out. But just yesterday, one of our popular ministers on the radio, he said, we need to get with it, man. Say, don't all these different denominations will be now all the part of the body of Christ? And I said, what? You mean the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican and the Methodist and the Baptist and the Seventh Church and the Church of God, the Prophets and Jehovah's Witness, we are now all one? No, ladies and gentlemen, we don't all teach the same thing. The Bible makes it perfectly clear that we should be teaching the same thing. There should be no division among us. We are not all one. So don't get caught up in these candy words that these ministers be coming out of their mouths. These ministers are ministers of the devil. These are part of those ministers that the Bible talk about, their spirits of devils working miracles. These ministers are the ministers that the Bible says that there's no great thing that they can make themselves be ministers of righteousness. But they are following that man who is an angel of light, Satan himself. We are living in serious times, ladies and gentlemen, and it was ever time we need to study our Bibles and walk in the light as Christ in the light. The time is definitely now. As a matter of fact, I always ask people all the time, when Christ met people living in their sins, how much time did he give them to turn to make it right? If he said immediately, go and sin no more. But tonight, there are people under the sound of our voices. They have all the facts on the Sabbath, and they're still breaking the Sabbath, keeping Sunday. They have all the facts why they shouldn't eat conch and pork and crab, but they're still eating those things, and they think they're going to... No, no, ladies and gentlemen, if you die, you're going to die in your sins. You see, this is the preparation ground. We're not going to get fixed when we get to heaven. We're getting fixed right here, right now. And that's why God has allowed us to live all these years, so we can get the victory over our sins. Even those darling sins, even those pet sins, whatever the sin might be, we need to get out of our lives. Because our God, the Bible says, they consume in fire. Or wherever sin is, when He returns, we will be consumed. And no wonder the Apostle Paul said right in 2 Thessalonians once again, that the wicked will be destroyed with the brightness of Christ coming. Who are the wicked? The wicked are those who are in their sins. The sin of Sunday worship, the sin of conch eating and crab eating, the sin of wine and dining. Well, one of our local gas companies, they charge almost $5 a gallon for gas. And what are they doing with the money? Instead, they reach out to those who are less fortunate. They give it to our young people to go downtown to do junior junk canoe. This is blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. We are dying. I mean, every time we turn on the news, one of our brothers and sisters are dying in their sins. And what they're doing, they're letting our young people go downtown dancing and whining. And, you know, I love what our Bishop Gomez said. Bishop Gomez said, he also recognized this is a no-no. This should not be, ladies and gentlemen. But who are listening to people? Ladies and gentlemen, our kids don't need junior junk canoe. They need Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. That's who they need, the Savior of the world. But we don't want Jesus. We want junior junk canoe. I think but we should boycott those gas companies that take our money, that our hard work has got why should you want to invest your money into something that's going, you know? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, it just behooves me. People need money to do other things with them. We're buying crepe paper and cardboard box and stuff that let our young children go in there and wind up themselves. No, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, it breaks my heart. I know it might sound hard, but I mean, they need to think again. They need to sit around the board and say, do we really want to expose our young people to this thing at an early age? There's something else I want to say, but if I said, I think I might get in trouble. You know, I mean, think, ladies and gentlemen, think. Mummies and daddies, think. Do you really want your young people to be downtown on display? I'm telling you, ladies, they're being taken advantage of at an early age.
Also, even though the mark of the beast has not begun, it's still a dangerous thing to know the truth and not follow. Because here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, because they receive not the love of truth, that they may be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. So he that knoweth the truth and doeth not, that to him that's a sin, according to the Bible. And you should not... When you know the truth, you should try to move as fast as possible into truth, because the Bible says if you continue in this wrongdoing, according to 2 Thessalonians, you will receive a strong delusion.
Brother Paul, for about an hour and 50 minutes now, we have, in some sense, the people say we've been trying to scare the people, and we've been trying to make the people fearful and so forth. I don't think so, but I'm sure there are many who would say such a thing. Because there are many persons who refuse to read the book of Revelation, because it here talks about lions and beasts and all these kind of things, and people don't like to hear those kind of things. However, let us end this message on a good note. But before we do that, let us take a caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, good night again.
Yeah.
I'm just calling to say in Revelation 18, verse 4, it says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. I want to say that tonight as we speak, there has been in the Bahamas about 3 congregations that have acted upon this verse right here tonight, brothers. They have come out of Babylon. They have seen what she is about, and they are not willing to be included or to be partakers in her sins. So I would just like to encourage the Haman people. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the same gospel that was preached unto them was preached unto you. But not being mixed with faith, it profited them not. So tonight, if there are 3 congregations in Nassau over the past 2 years who have come out of Babylon, who has now been worshiping on the day that God has asked them to worship, are you going to be left behind and be partakers of the sins of the wrath of God upon those who disobey His commands or who won't worship Him? So be like those. Act on your faith. And that which you, like Brother Shannon has said earlier, the light that you have seen, the word of God that has been preached to you tonight, let it be mixed with the faith in you and come out of Babylon and be not partakers in her sin. Good night, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Brother Paul, like you said, before we took the last caller, I would like for you and Brother Shannon to give the people some hope. Because I'm sure that maybe some people might say, oh, the mark of the beast is Sunday and so forth and so on. And they might be afraid. They might be scared. They might be troubled. Let them know what they should do now, knowing what they know as of the night. And if they're still not sure, what should they do, Brother Paul?
What they should do, Brother Julian, first of all, I told them at the beginning of this program to write down the text, to write down all the information so they could do some research for themselves. And if they find the information to be false, then I expect them to give us a call so we can, you know, correct ourselves whenever we come back on air again, God's willing. You know, we're living in serious times, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, a lot of us may not be aware of it. We right now live between two voices of scriptures in the book of Revelation, chapter 6. And it was ever time we don't need to be fearful, because the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind. This has not come for us to be fearful. It's information you maybe have never heard before. It might sound off the wall, but all God has asked you tonight is, like our tame text, come now, let us reason together, said the Lord. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. God wants to reason with you. Did these brothers tonight really share this truth with my people? Or were they sharing heresy? Should their mouths be stopped? Or were they sharing the truth? That's what God is saying here. Our mouths should be stopped, lady, if you're sharing things that are not true. And tonight, we are living between verses 13 and 14 of Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, in verse 13, and the stars from heaven fell. Now, let me start from verse 12. John the Revelator says, and I beheld, when he had opened up the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as slough curdled here, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell upon the earth as a fig tree cast out an untimely fig, when she is shaken as a mighty wind. And then verse 14 he says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every island mountain will move out of their places. Right now we live between verses 13 and 14 of Revelation chapter 6. Those four events that John saw are right now their history. Those four, the great earthquake, the sun became black, moon became as blood, and the stars fell from heaven, are history. Why hasn't the heaven departed as a scroll as yet? Because Revelation 7 is now taking place. Where God told those angels, those four angels, that are standing on the forefront to hold the winds of strife. And let not the wind blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And he said, and he said, none angels from the east having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given the hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till I have sealed the servants of God in their forehead. And the number of them that were sealed, the Bible says, was 144,000. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight those angels are roaming the earth. And those four angels, thank God, are still holding back the winds of strife. But notice, it's not going to be for eternity. It's going to be until God's people are sealing their foreheads. And when those angels let go the winds of strife, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a time of trouble that was never was since there were nations. And at that time, we need to be wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Not a superficial wrapping up, not an emotional wrap up, but one that can stand the test of time. One that you would prefer to die than to sin. That's what we need, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of us tonight in the Bahamas are fearful because of the high crime rate. We right now stand at a sober 71. And we're wondering if we're going to live to see tomorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, the question needs to be asked. If you should die tonight, would you die in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's name? Or would you die in the name of that one who deceived the whole world, Satan himself? There's no need for us to fear. The angel of the Lord says, Psalms 91, and count about them that fear him and love him. And no harm will come nigh our dwelling. Do we love Christ tonight? Are we willing to go all the way in Jesus Christ? Are we willing to follow him at his words? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a faith-based, this is a miracle we all sit here tonight. There's no reason why Paul Miller should be here, ladies and gentlemen. When I think about when I used to fly through the streets of Nashville at 145 miles an hour on my motorbike, never came up without a scratch, no broken bones, no nothing. When I think about how I walk away from school at F student, I just get F in every subject, ladies and gentlemen. What am I doing here? Every subject, the only subject I never get F in is Bible, conduct, and art. Every other subject was F. I'm the only person in the Bahamas, ladies, that went to college in the Bahamas without a high school diploma, no BJCs, no nothing, and I stayed there for 3 years. What am I doing here? Surely I believe the Lord is calling for such a time. I want you to pray for me. The devil is on my case like white on rice, ladies and gentlemen. I know it, and I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to shut up my mouth. But I'm willing to preach this message even if it means I must die. I stopped with one of my good friends' shop today. And he, you know, he asked me, he said, Paul, are you ready to die? Are you ready to really give up all for Christ? And I said, yeah. If I'm not, then I know I'm going to die in my sins. He promised me that he would listen. And I hope he's listening, you know, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the question to ask ourselves individually. Are we ready to die right now? Are we ready? Are we ready? If I leave it tonight and I find a police officer outside to take me to prison because of the truth I shared, then so be it. All anything I'll ask them to do is give me my Bible. And if they don't want to give me my Bible, I'm sure the Lord will have one there for me. And if none is there for me, then he'll bring back those things in my remembrance which I have studied. Because he said in his word, think not what you should say when you stand before a man to speak my word. I'll bring those things back to your remembrance. And tonight, all the ministers of the gospel under the sound of our voices, do a study on this ministers of the gospel. Let's turn the Bahamas upside down. We can save the Bahamas like Jonah did to Nineveh. The Lord can work you to turn the Bahamas upside down. But you must share the truth and nothing but the truth. Ministers of the gospel would like to have your different type of events. What do they call those events that they like to have? These different events that they have, not prayer vigil. They have when they have these different conclaves and stuff. Do one on the mark of the beast. The Bahamas wants to know. They want to know, are these brothers from Turning Point really telling us the truth? Don't lie to them. Tell them, you know, something. I believe those boys are telling us the truth. I invite you also to go on the internet. There's a book on the internet you can read called The National Sunday Law, written by, what is the name of that pastor? John Markison. The National Sunday Law. It's on the internet. It's in a nutshell form. It's not long. You can even download it, load it, and you can read it through. He has it. It's no more than, I think, about 50 pages, if that much. And it's right compact and very simple. Even a child can understand it. And you can read that book through, and you'll get even a more clear understanding of where the mark will be in your private study. And you can follow the attitude of many other ministers who are, like the brother said earlier, that have switched from keeping Sunday to keeping Saturday. What a move in the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not do it by feelings, ladies and gentlemen. They did it. One brother, I visited his church about 3-4 weeks ago. And he said, Brother Paul, you know, come hell or high water, we're not turning back. The Sabbath is the truth. And I said, amen. You know, ladies and gentlemen, people are moving into the truth. They want to keep all 10 of God's commandments. Not 5, not 6, not 8, not 7, 10. And I want you to pray for our brothers in the Catholic faith. You know, just the other day I was speaking to one of my customers. She's a Catholic, and she said, you know, Paul, I'm comfortable in my church. I said, yeah, you might be comfortable. I said, but you need to come out. My father used to be a Roman Catholic. You know, and my heart go out to the Pope and to all the Catholic priests and all the members. And my heart go out to them because they're in a system that is, there's no doubt in my mind, is designed by Satan himself. There's no doubt in my mind. And I'm sure if I sit down with any of them tonight, you know, they say something to Brother Paul. You know what my customer told me? She said, we came to the conclusion in our Bible study of the Catholic Church that if we ever leave the church, we're only going to join one church, and that's the Seventh-day Adventist Church. What a profound statement. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, making a statement like I will not save them, they need to come out. Tonight, ladies, I'm asking you, go visit your local Seventh-day Adventist Church. Call our pastors up on the phone. Make them give an account for what they believe. And I'm sure they're going to make it crystal clear. And when you come, you're coming because you love Jesus Christ. You're not coming because you love the church. You're not coming because you love the pew. You're coming because you love Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that's going to save us. Not the rules and regulations. It's that relationship we have with him that is going to save us at the end of time. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight has been a hard message. A strange one. Maybe a difficult one. But like I said earlier, seek the Lord in prayer. And he will lead you all the way.
We want to thank all of our callers. We want to thank Brother Paul, Brother Shannon, and we want to thank the Zenith producer, Brother Desmond, for participating and helping us out here this evening. We want to thank all our callers. We want to thank Zenith and all those persons that had anything to do with putting the show on together, from the janitors to the clerks to the receptionists to the security to everyone that assisted us. And before we go, we just want to say one thing. Whenever Turning Point comes on the air, it is never our intention to insult or to demean anyone's religion or anyone's belief. What you heard tonight was beliefs presented by Turning Point Ministries as we have studied them to be. And we stand to be corrected on everything that we have presented here tonight. And if you need to reach us, you can reach us at 322-6273, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. So ladies and gentlemen, feel free at any time to give us a call to let us know if you agree, disagree, support, not support. We're willing to listen and we're willing to learn. So another Turning Point Presents is off the air, and you will be hearing from us soon. Don't forget, Sundays is a 2 hour, sorry, a 30 minute program at 2 o'clock on the same channel, 1540. Or you can visit our website for any information concerning our future program. That's www.tpministries.org. Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank you once again, O God, for another opportunity to represent your message. We want to thank you for all those who have listened and all those who have participated. Lord, we ask that you would open the eyes of those that may be having doubts. Clear up in their minds once and for all, Lord, what you would have them to do. Clear up in their minds, O Lord, what it means is mark of the beast. Help them each and everyone. And help us too, O Lord, that if we have said anything wrong, we want to ask our forgiveness. We ask for your power and your strength to do those things that are right in your sight. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, until the next Turning Point Presents, or until next week on Sunday, our radio 2 o'clock program here on 1540. This is Paul Miller. May the peace of God continue to be junior family. And may God bless you all.
This is Sharon Rose.
And this is Julian Miller. May God richly bless you.
This is AM 1540, the national voice of the Bahamas.